It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mark Lloyd Show. Right here on Freedom Radio up in Tallahassee. Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. We had a fantastic show for you. Lots of stuff to recap from an exciting first ever, we'll call it a fun fest, with our two stars here, Simonville and Terminus Eric being out there at the we'll call it a fun fest. So we have that to talk about. Simonville and myself, we're going to be up on our soapbox today as well, my friends. Up on our soapbox, and I think since we're in Tallahassee, or actually, because even if we're airing anywhere, I think everybody would be in agreement with us. We're going to talk a little bit about how predictions have come true. Predictions have come true. And plus, we will get into some more college football talk a little bit later on. But let's not waste any time at all. Let's bring in the man of the hour, Simonville. Simonville, how are you?
Doing great, Mark. I think we need a whole week to rest.
I was just about to say, as Simonville and Terminus Eric recovered from the Wakulla Fun Fest.
Well, yeah, it was a great initial date, if you will. We kicked things off in grand style, had a steady stream of youth, adults, young at heart. And food vendors, the arts and crafts vendors, they all did very well and enjoyed having the patrons out there at Fun Fest. BK, the Pirate Hunter Jr. were out there. We were there. It was just a great day of celebrating the community in the area and the spirit of camaraderie with all the folks who came out, and a fun time for everybody. One of the coolest comments we got all day, literally the coolest comment, was when Keith Lawson sponsored our Keith Lawson Services, great company here locally, sponsored our what we call our chill zone or our Arctic cool zone tents. And I cannot tell you how many people came by and said, man, that is one of literally the coolest things I've seen at an event, to have a chilled tent like that. And it really, really helped, folks beat the heat, had great weather, no rain came into our way. So, Mark, we missed you, but we carried on and had a great first date, and we look forward to more.
Excellent. So it was a huge success. I got to get into some of the more details because I have questions for you guys. We'll do that during our entertainment segment later on, as well as our fitness tip and, of course, our water check, which might be the most important water check ever. I'm so curious about that. But let's dive right into something. Now, obviously, big Florida State news this past week. Not the kind of news that Noel fans want, especially alumni like you, Simonville, but DeAndre Johnson was dismissed from the team. I'm pretty sure he was a two-time Mr. Football in the state of Florida, which is not easy to do. Potentially, it could be a star quarterback for Florida State. He punched a girl. We all knew that he was suspended indefinitely, but then the video came out, showed it. It was very ugly. Jimbo Fisher. I hate when they say had no choice. Of course, he has a choice, but what they did was the right thing. That's what I'm saying. I don't like when they say, well, Florida State and Jimbo Fisher had no choice but to dismiss DeAndre Johnson. No, they had a choice. They could have said, okay, you're suspended for a year. You could come back next year, go to counseling, everything. No, they didn't do that. So they do have a choice. They did what they felt was right and had to dismiss DeAndre Johnson, who now, you wish him luck because everybody makes mistakes, horrible mistakes. But he will not be playing for Florida State. And that's a shame, too, Bill, for that he just didn't walk away. I know there's all kinds of speculation about what the girl was saying to DeAndre Johnson, racial slurs and saying all kinds of stuff. But you and I were talking. It doesn't matter what she said. One, you never had a girl, a woman, a female. And two, you got to know who you are And you just got to say, what good could come out of me being here still? Why don't I just leave? I have my whole future in front of me. I have a four-year scholarship to one of the best universities in the country. I have a chance to make millions of dollars one year with a coach that continues to put first-round quarterbacks in. I'll just walk away. And he didn't.
Yeah, Mark, you're exactly right. There's unfortunately nothing good comes out of striking someone in most cases. While you're in the moment, it may seem okay, but reality is it's never okay to do those things. We have to get back to some basics, and I've heard this talked about a lot since that incident has been played out on tape. There's some things you can't get away with doing, period. You just don't want to. You shouldn't. You have to remember who you are, who you represent, what you're doing, and you'll have a huge spotlight on you as a student athlete in any major university, of course, especially here at FSU, and you just move on. You know, like we talked about, you know, grab the person behind the bar, point to the person that's the problem, and walk away. That's the best thing you can do. You have nothing to prove, and no good will come out of anything that follows if you don't just learn to turn around and walk away. You're not on the football field. You're not, you know, going up against an opponent. There's nothing challenging you except being able to walk away from that situation. That's what you're told to do. I know that the coaches and the folks that bring these young athletes into their midst, you know, they all have vested interest in making sure that those folks succeed in every aspect of their life. And Coach Fisher doesn't just recruit folks, and the coaches don't recruit folks here to fail or to do things
That's
like
right.
that. So, you have to use common sense, number one, and you have to make sure you're not in a situation to get into trouble like that, number two. But a shame for him. I absolutely do wish that he turns it around and brings something positive from a negative. And hopefully all young folks, you know, student-athletes or otherwise, will take a lesson from this that, you know, keep your hands to yourself. There's no reason. If you're there to have fun, have fun. If it gets bad, just walk away.
That's right. Don't put yourself in a position that you're going to have to make a decision like that. Just, you said it, just walk away. And that goes, some of the, that goes for anybody. I mean, let's be honest, even just us. You know, if somebody came up and was provoking you at the Wakulla Fun Fest, even though we know that would never happen, but, you know what I mean, you would just walk away or ask the, or get the authorities to ask the person to leave. You know, no good would come out of Seminole Bill, you being anywhere and somebody recognized you at the local Starbucks or something and they say something because they didn't like what you said and then you get in a fight. What good is – so you just got to – you really do. You just got to walk away. This leads me, though, to this. First of all, what they're saying is that if the video wasn't released, then it would have been a he said, she said, and that DeAndre Johnson, this is like experts out there, would say that he would still be on the team, he'd get suspended or something like the guy at Oklahoma did last year. If anybody follows recruiting, everybody knows that Joe Mixon was a five-star recruit last year. Bob Stoops got him to come there. Outstanding talent. However, during his freshman year, before the season even started, Mixon got in trouble. He got in trouble because he punched a girl. And let me read this to you real quick, Seminole Bill. Here's the difference, though, and I'll be honest with you. Now that I'm reading into it, it's blowing my mind. The reason we know these details is because the Oklahoman described a video last September of Mixon's punch, a video that was viewed by Oklahoma President David Boren, Athletic Director Joe Castellano, and Coach Bob Stoops. So there is a videotape. It just never got released to the public the way DeAndre Johnson's had. But here's what was on the tape. Mixon lands a devastating right hook that knocks Molitor, the victim, off her feet. She hits the table on her left ear, then falls to the ground where she lays still. Mixon walks out of the frame to the front of the restaurant and is not seen again. After about 35 seconds, Molitor manages to stand up and tries to steady her feet, but staggers, eventually sitting on the chair she stood next to a minute before. Okay, so that's what he did. Joe Mixon, because he's a five-star recruit and he's a great talent, supposedly, he gets suspended for 1 year. That's it. 1 year. And now he's ready to suit up for Oklahoma. Now, Tony Casillas, I don't know if you remember him, Seminole Bill,
yes.
A former great NFL player, but a former great Oklahoma, he's beyond embarrassed. He said, I'm so embarrassed that this guy is going to play for our team, knowing what we know. So because that video. So Bob Stoops saw that. The athletic director and the president saw that and felt it was okay to leave him on the team, that the repercussions, the consequences should be 1 year. Now, if that video got out and us, the TMZ, or whoever saw it, Mixon would be off the team because of the pressure from the outside. That's a shame, Seminoleville.
Yeah, well, is it a double standard? Maybe. What it is folks view things certain ways. You know, everyone evaluates things certain ways.
But it's not a he said, she said,
no,
Bill, though they saw the video. That's my problem.
Right. You're right. And that's why what I was about to say is I hope that is a better report on FSU than other universities. We sometimes right now are still in the crosshairs, but you see that, as in the past, Coach Fisher has taken action against players when he feels they're in the wrong, period. And we can talk about what happened with Jameis and other folks, but if you remember when Coach came in here, he cleaned house with some folks that were doing some things that weren't no video, period. Just here's what happened, what was reported, and that person was gone. And so you evaluate certain things based on what you have available to you. Even you have to be fair to both sides because obviously things don't always go through a court system initially. But you evaluate and you make a decision. And I would like to say that in coach's favor here, that decision was the correct decision. You know, and now what happens elsewhere is open for other people to talk about. But you definitely haven't heard the same outcry, at least in the media, where I've been able to see it, as you did with certain things that happened here.
You're absolutely right. What blows my mind is that there's a video out there and they won't release it to the public. That's what's killing me. It's like, really? Are you kidding me that you're not going to release that video for the public to view, or whoever it is? I mean, that's the part I just don't understand how that's going on. And what kills me is that this is by far just, I don't want to say it's swept under the rug, because it's not, but by no means is it leading, you know, any kind of stories anywhere going. And there seems like there's no pressure on Oklahoma to do any more with this Joe Mixon character, all because he's a five-star kid and they want to win football games. And it's not he said, she said. When right. On a he said, she said thing, then yeah, you need to take a step back and see who you really trust. And then there's a gray area there, big time. I'm 100% in agreement with that. I wouldn't say, hey, you're off the team. I'd really have to do some research and how well do I know the guy, and is that person capable of doing something like that, and who are the witnesses? But when you could see it with your own two eyes and draw your own conclusion, then I'm just shocked that he's still on the football team. Which all leads us to, Seminole Bill, something we're going to talk about on the other side of the break, and that's good old Laramie Tunsil, the top five draft pick, the offensive lineman for Ole Miss, and how the SEC marketing machine right now is doing the greatest job I think it ever has done. And I'll tell you what that is on the other side of the break. Stay with us here right now on the Mark Lloyd Show.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric,
from the Mark Lloyd Show, with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Let me say that again. Happy Saturday, everybody. That's a little better, right, Somerville?
Yeah, it feels like I'm
yeah, exactly. It feels like I'm recovering from the Call of Fun Fest. It's the Mark Lloyd Show right here on Freedom 93. We always like to thank you for spending some time with us each and every Saturday as we talk about the world of sports and with a hard concentration on the pigskin. But also, we love promoting the Wakulla Fun Fest. And, Somerville, the entertainment that came in, did they live up to the billing? I know you were pumping them up, because you were a fan of them. But did everybody enjoy them as much as you thought they would?
Yeah, Cool Mountain Band was fantastic. Great, first of all, great group of guys. And we got to meet their significant others as well. Just great folks. Really talented young group, and they had a good time entertaining the folks there at FunFest. We were glad to have them. The Decade Kings kicked things off earlier in the day, and they're a local group of musicians to kind of throwback stuff to the decades past. They did a fine job as well. But Cold Mountain Band, boy, I mean, you know, what a way to kick off FunFest with a super energetic group, great fellows. Great music.
When did they come on? When did they come on? Around 4 or 5?
They actually came in about 5:30, 6 o'clock. They we were doing the sound checks and all that stuff ahead of that, and but they closed out the show with the bang. And I will say thank you to the weather gods. We had a perfect weather throughout the whole day, not one bit of rain or anything, and we appreciated that, and we're able to just have a great day the whole day long.
I'll get into that later. I got some other questions. But, all right, before we went to break, though, Somerville and I, we want to get on our soapbox a little bit, and all of our fans out there know where we stand on the SEC and their marketing machine. Okay, what I'm talking about is Laramie Tunzel. For those of you who don't know, he's a 5-star kid out of the state of Florida, offensive lineman. Shockingly, 3 years ago, he committed to Ole Miss, along with Robert Condici, along with Treadwell, the wide receiver, along with, like, Tony Connor, who was a 4- or 5-star safety. These kids are all 4- or 5-star kids that all decided to go to Ole Miss for some reason. Now, 3 years ago, I said Ole Miss will be in trouble by one or more of these kids. There's a reason that they committed to Ole Miss. Not because they thought, let me go to Ole Miss because we're going to win a national championship. They went to Ole Miss for other reasons. And I thought it was shady reasons. Well, Laramie Tunzel gets in trouble the other week. Now Tunzel will be a top 5 draft pick. He's arguably the best offensive lineman in the whole country. He gets arrested the other week, gets in trouble because he punched his stepfather, Lindsey Miller, because they got in a fight. Tunzel said that Miller was screaming at his mom or maybe pushed his mom down or did something. Bottom line is, you can't punch anybody. So what he should have done was call the cops on his stepfather, but instead he punched him. Well, that was Tunzel's big mistake, Seminole Bill, because now he pissed off the stepfather, who knows everything that's going on behind closed doors, who's now spewing it to anybody that will listen. So with this, the NCAA has opened up an investigation on Laramie Tunzel. Well, guess what's coming out, Somerville?
Uh-oh.
How about this? Yeah, exactly. Lindsey Miller, Tunzel's stepfather, said, well, that day, Larry Tunzel was riding around with football agents. That he always rides around with football agents. That he's been given money, clothes, help, assistance in paying for his car insurance. He's also given transportation at times. Oh, by the way, the reason that Laramie Tunzel didn't commit to Georgia was because Ole Miss decided to up the ante and offer him $100,000 in cash as well as national championship tickets to come to Ole Miss. And guess where Laramie Tunzel committed? Ole Miss, the Fighting Rebels, who never really have ever had a five-star kid, decides to get 4 and 5 of them in 1 year. And we all chalk it up to Hugh Freeze is just a great recruiter. Give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, come on. Now, I'm going to let you comment, Bill. Let me just close it up by saying this, is that so DeAndre Johnson of Florida State has set the headline constantly. Laramie Tunsil, a possible top 5 draft pick, in trouble with not only agents but also the law. The story is so buried, it's sickening. It doesn't – the day it happened, my brother was watching ESPN all day. I kept on checking with him, and I said, hey, you know, at his work, what's going on? Nothing. It's all behind. Nobody's even saying anything about it. It's no big deal because the SEC marketing machine is just working overtime. And they're just keeping the Florida State situation at the top and the Ole Miss situation buried. It's just unbelievable, Seminole Bill.
Well, it's that, like you said, the machine rolls on. Somehow, some way, they find their path through some of these issues better than the average and better than most. So can you fault them for doing what they're supposed to be doing? No, they're out there pitching their conference and making sure that it stays on the perch. But you are correct. Anybody else would be under a blistering media storm right now were it not for the machine that is the SEC marketing factor. So props to them, I guess. But it is interesting that it seems to be a double standard out there when it comes to those things. And we'll see how that plays out further. Maybe the blinders come off one day.
But how are... Like, I just don't get how they've done such a magnificent job to make, hopefully, independent thinkers out there in the media to not call them out. How is Hugh Freeze not under such a glaring spotlight right now? How are people not diving into the situation of how did Ole Miss get – are you ready for this, Seminole Bill? 3 top 10 NFL picks this upcoming season. There's a good chance there are 3 of them, with Treadwell, with Tunsil, and with Nimbichi. 3 of them where they never had really anything before, that out of nowhere, all these kids commit to them in 1 year. How there's no spotlight, nobody does any digging. ESPN, by the way, who owns the SEC Network? I know they have a contract with the ACC and everything else. I don't care. ESPN spends who knows how much money to put somebody sitting down there at the Florida State campus to dig up whatever they possibly can. You know, send down the whole crew, let them live there and dig up whatever you can. But nobody goes to Ole Miss. Nobody goes to this SEC school to look into that. That's just BS, Bill.
Well, you know, what's the old you know, in the media, sex sells. Maybe they just think FSU's a sexier sell for that type of salaciousness, because obviously Ole Miss has been, you know, for the most part, other than, you know, Peyton, you know, coming through,
Eli.
You know, yeah, I'm sorry, Peyton. Yeah, Eli, Peyton's brother. But they've been a non-conversational piece for how long, you know, except for Eli being there and doing his thing. So, I don't know.
You're right.
I'm with you. There's maybe it just didn't, you know, the headliner that FSU is, or maybe one of the other schools. You know, if it was Alabama and Saban, it might be something to talk about. If it was, well, I don't know if you can say University of Florida anymore because they've kind of fallen on hard times. But if it was somebody, you know, one of the top 10 teams, maybe it's just worth that extra effort to camp out and find whatever dirt you can. But it is a little bit of a mystery. We all sit here because we get thrown to the wolves a good bit and try and figure it out. But I will say this: whatever those guys are doing over there to keep it from coming their way, they've figured out the crossword puzzle.
They got the formula. Yeah, they got.
Right.
And you know what the formula is? The formula is millions of dollars. I think that's exactly what it is. Throw money at the problem. Yeah,
that's right.
Throw money at the problem, which is something the ACC never does. They don't throw any money at the problem. They don't try to solve anything. It's like they just care less about football in their conference, and they'll focus on basketball. And that's that. Yet they have a powerhouse that just won a national championship for them and brings millions upon millions of dollars into the conference in various ways. But they still don't get the respect, even when it comes down to the officiating in the conference. But that's a different topic for a different day. Let's put a smile on everybody's face right now, Senator Bill. Let's turn the tables a little bit. And I was at WarChant.com, our good friends over there, at WarChant.com.
Right.
Yeah, Gene. I was looking at an article that came out this past week. And it was interesting to the fact that Florida State's 2013 national championship team, out of the 24 starters, 17 have already been selected, have already been drafted. 17. Wow. Only three so far have not been, and that was Christian Jones, which blows my mind, yet he played an awful lot for the Bears, so he is in the NFL. Chad Abram, the fullback, and then Josue Matias, who would have been drafted, no problem, but he had that bum shoulder.
Right.
But he did instantly get picked up because they just want to see him get better. That's the bottom line there. So there's four other guys that were on that team that can still go pro, and two of them most likely to get drafted, Jalen Ramsey and Roberto Aguayo, the kicker.
Yeah.
Also, Terrence Smith was on that team, and Cason Beatty, which I don't foresee him getting drafted at all. I don't foresee him being in the NFL. But out of those guys, you can think two more. So 19 of the 24 starters on that national championship team will be playing in the NFL, will get drafted to play in the NFL, with a couple others in the NFL playing. So you could have upwards of 22, 23 players on that team playing at one point or another in the NFL. That's astounding, Seminole Bill, is it not?
That's, I don't know if you can ever say that's been done. Maybe one or two teams have had that kind of success in the past, but that just remarkable stat for the coach, Coach Fisher and his staff, to be able to bring that kind of talent through here in such a relatively short period of time is staggering. And I keep it coming, Coach. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
Yeah, you know what? And so when you look at that, those numbers, it made me start thinking that how hard it is to put together all that great talent and have great NFL talent on a college football team and make that college football team still successful. That people might say, well, of course. Well, that doesn't – I don't think that always equates to that. I think that that's a skill also. Now, when we come back on the other side of the break, Summer Bill, what I want to ask you and all of our fans out there is how does that happen? And just because you have NFL talent on your college football team, does that make you a great college team? And what are some of the other teams that did have the same formula as Florida State did in 2013? And let's look back on some of those great teams and see where they've ended up in history when it comes to college football, and also players moving on to the NFL, and see if that formula worked for them as well. All that coming up next. Stay with us right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakulaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
Welcome back to the Mark Moore Show here on Freedom 93 FM. Thanks for hanging with us on this Saturday. Hopefully your day is off to a good start, like ours is. Right, Senator Bill?
Absolutely. Cannot complain. A great start to Saturday.
And you know what? It was a great start, I bet, for you last Friday, or July 3rd, at the first ever, the inaugural, we'll call it Fun Fest, which they were nice enough to make sure Simlerville and Terminus Eric were taken care of, and you guys were guest celebrity hosts. But here's a question I have is, you know, we all love food, and we love festival food. There's no doubt about it. We love festival food. So give me a brief Cliff Note version rundown of some of the food that you consumed that day. Did you have like an icy? Did you have like some kind of fried corn dog or the popcorn or what did you have, like a pulled pork sandwich, something like that?
Yeah, they had a couple of things there, and Flying Pappy's, you know, have to give props to Flying Pappy. He's what you would call a gourmet hot dog truck, and then he has the different, you can get the different, the Chicago type dogs, you can get different, you know, Coney's or whatever. He's very well known around this area. He has a great little truck, and we always enjoy seeing him there. And so I actually bought the Pepsi gals that were there with the refreshment services. Pepsi got them a couple dogs over there. You know, when they got hungry, it's funny how they can afford those nice hot dogs. They always look so good. But you know, I look at one of those and I gained 5 pounds. So
what did you eat, Seminole Bill? You're talking about what other people ate. I want to know what you ate.
Five Star Grub was there. They have a combo, a lot of different things you were just talking about. I had a dog, and then I had some of the Five Star food as well, and then Niecy's, this dessert gal that come out there, she Niecy's Sweet Tooth Bakery, she can make Willy Wonka proud. She had some great confections out there. I mean, really, just, you know, it's all homemade baked stuff, but she was fantastic. Her and her mom showed up to man a vendor space out there, and they stayed steady, and they're very, very, I would, like I tell you, that she's got a bright future in whatever she does, because she can definitely bake. You get over there, Mark, we have to be doing the two-step for some other type of exercises, because you just won't be able to stop.
That's,
you know,
right.
One of those things you just keep, that arm keep moving toward your mouth, and pretty soon, you're doing the war chant, but it's with food. And
Very good. You know? You're doing the war chant, but it's food.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That's
great.
Yeah. So,
good food.
It was absolutely
food.
Great. Great food. You can't go wrong. There's always going to be some new vendors come in and out, and we'll keep it, as they say, changing around a little bit up there. But I know Terminus, so I'm over there trying to grab something in between some shifts, and he looked like he was happy too, and the rest of the crew was grabbing some things as well. So, Terminus, are you still there? I mean, he's been so quiet. I almost feel like maybe he still passed out from all the fun.
No, I think he's irritated over what now?
My hand hurts from all the autographs, you know.
Oh, his hand hurts.
There you go. That's we're going to get into during our entertainment segment. I want to know, and I have my fingers crossed, but I'm quietly confident that Simon Bill and Terminus Eric were a big hit at the McCullough Fun Fest. So I like that brief little tease that his hand is still sore from signing so many autographs. I do like that. Plus, I heard Terminus Eric's girlfriend was there, so I want to know what kind of impact that had on her for our good boy Terminus Eric. All right, before we went to break, though, we were talking, Simon Bill, about the 2013 National Championship team for Florida State and just how many people have been drafted. And they have a chance to tie the overall draft picks from a team, and that's held by Ohio State. They had 20 draft picks. Now, University of Miami had the most first round. They had 11 first round draft picks from their national championship team, I think, in 2001. And, you know, Jimbo Fisher brought up a good point, too, and that is that a lot of Florida State would have even more draft picks if some of these guys would have came back for their senior years. That they were first-round talent, but they needed to play another year in college football, and they would have been able to boost their stock and possibly be a first-rounder. Like Timmy Jernigan, who plays for the Ravens, Fisher said, the Ravens called Fisher right away and said, boy, I'm glad we got him in the second round. This kid's a top 15 pick all day long. That's how good he is. Right. So that's good to hear. And then when Auburn won the national championship with Cam Newton back in 2010, they had the fewest number of NFL talent, and it was only five. You know, only five. And since 2001, only three have produced 15 or more NFL draft picks from their starting lineups. USC, 2004 at 16, and Alabama 2011 and 2012 had 15 each year, which is super impressive. But it's so hard to do, Simonville, even with all that talent, to win a national championship, because you're dealing with, yes, you have great talent, but it's hard to mold all them to play together as a team, right?
It absolutely is. At usually any level of athletics competition, it's all about can you make the talent you have come together as a team? Is it a bunch of individuals out there, you know, doing their own thing, or are they coachable and have they come together as one succinct unit to be able to reach the objective, which is, you know, being the best you can be as a team?
And because it doesn't always equate to great success on the field. Now, on the flip side, Simpleville, how does a team that doesn't necessarily have NFL talent put together a run and win a national championship in college football? Is it just because, like Auburn, like I just mentioned, they had five guys drafted, only two first-rounders, and then the rest was a fourth and, like, somebody in the sixth round or something like that. Is it all just put the spotlight on that you had a great quarterback like they did Cam Newton, and that's enough to win you a national championship? But they did it with five draft picks, where you have Florida State and Miami and Alabama and USC getting 16 and 17 players being drafted and 20 players being drafted into the NFL. So how does a team like Auburn do it with, I would say, mid-level talent other than one or two superstars?
Well, you know, it goes back to your coaching. It goes back to and to your leadership. I think a lot of would-be champion teams lack one or two things, and that's either they didn't gel as a unit, where they all, you know, put it together, you know, on the field at one time, or they didn't have, and I've, you know, you've heard Coach Bowden in the past here reference the leadership quality. Really, what's really important to a team trying to be a champion is, do they have enough motivation, not just from the coaching staff, but self-motivation and folks that they can follow? If you have someone you can rally around, someone knows how to get you inspired, and that's not something you can fake. You either have it or you don't. We've seen it here before where we were coming back what we felt with a pretty loaded team or two, and for whatever reason, it just didn't, you know, the parts of the puzzle didn't fit together. There was something missing. And usually that something missing, if you have quality coaching, is going to be player-driven. You know, is there fire in the belly? Are they overconfident? Do they respect what they have to do every day, week in, week out, you know, during the season, during the preseason, when the coaches are there and when they're not there? Because it's 100% effort to get to where you want to be. You have to do above and beyond if you're going to make it there. It's kind of like the, you know, you remember the movie Hoosiers. Well,
yes.
They were a nobody. And then, you know, that's based off a true story. They were a nobody until they got the right coach and the right players. Just one or two pieces of that puzzle fit together to make that work. And that's the same thing here. Do you have a Charlie Ward? Do you have a Chris Winkie? Do you have a Derek Brooks? Do you have even a Deion Sanders that leads by example on the field? Let's just say practice hard. You know, those old players made some of our teams great because of the leadership quality. And if you don't have that, you know, you're missing a piece of the puzzle that's just not going to lead you to that championship. You're just going to have that in place to do it.
And you know what? I mentioned Cam Newton, and obviously Jameis Winston,
Yes.
But what's interesting to me is that, like, the 0-1 Miami team had all the talent in the world, but one thing but Ken Dorsey got drafted in the 7th round. Now, he played in the NFL, but he got drafted in the 7th round, so he was not NFL-type quarterback, but I guess he was a great college quarterback. So he was a great college quarterback with NFL talent around him. And it's the same thing with the 0-2 Buckeyes. They're led by Craig Krenzel, who got drafted in the 5th round, played a few games in the NFL, and he's done. But he was surrounded by great NFL talent around him. But I think even with Krenzel and Dorsey, what you were saying about being able to fire the team up, to be a leader, even though you're not as talented as the players around you, but they viewed you as equal. They viewed Ken Dorsey, even though he was not Andre Johnson, he was not, you know, any of the – forget that. I mean, the Clinton Porters, you know, he was not going to be one of those guys at the next level. But at the college level, he was viewed as the same because he was playing – at such a high level, even though there wasn't really a future for him in the NFL. So I think you're onto it. There is just it's a mixture, it's a formula, and it's all about chemistry.
Yes.
And it takes a lot to put it all together, no matter how much talent you have or how much talent you don't have. Regardless, what it tells us is that when you do win a championship, that it's special and you should relish in it for as long as possible. That is for sure. All right, Seminole, we got to take another break. When we come back, our final segment, we have our fitness tip, which is a good one this week because it's all about cardio, and trust me, it sounds like you guys need it after the Wakulla Fun Fest. We have our water check and then our entertainment segment. All right, coming up right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on Freedom 93 FM, the home of the Pirate Hunter Will Dance Show, who was at the Wakulla Fun Fest. Am I right, Tim LaVille?
Oh, yeah. Will is in, you know, great form, as always, along
yeah,
with you.
That's awesome. Now, before we get to some more details, July 17th, the Wakulla Fun Fest is coming back to Hudson Park, correct?
That is correct. It was so much fun the first time, we have to do it again. We've got a few more dates planned, but that's correct. The next one will be next Friday, well, this upcoming Friday, if you will, July 17th. And Hudson Park, the same old thing, if you will, but with, you know, different things going on. We bring you another adventure of Wakulla Fun Fest, and kids come on out for the kids' zone to have a lot of fun with the slides and the bouncers and all that good stuff, and the antique folks will be back, the arts and crafts folks will be back, and different food vendors, you know, coming in and out. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be something, it should be something different each time. You know, you'll have some repeats, but there should be something to look forward to each time. And new entertainment, of course, this one coming in this time will be Savannah Lee Bassett, no relation, but a great, you know, great singer and a touring singer out of the Jacksonville area.
Awesome, awesome. And for more information, people can go to WakullaFunFest.com. We'll get some more details on how Eric Tan's doing from signing all kinds of autographs at the Wakulla Fun Fest as Terminus Eric. But first, let's do our fitness tip. And Seminole, this is right up our alley, especially yours after the Wakulla Fun Fest and eating all the great food that you were talking about, which was making me very hungry, even though it's early in the morning. And that is, before you do anything in the morning, drink some water, but then do your cardio. If you do your cardio before you consume food, now consume any kind of food, what you're doing is you're burning off your stored fat. You're burning off the normal calories, but then you start getting into your stored fat and your carbs and everything from the night before, from the previous day. So you really tap into it right away. I'm talking 30, 45 minutes, not a long endurance thing of you know, more than an hour. Then you need to consume some calories before you go out and do that. But if you want to go out for a 30 or 45-minute walk, it will have a better effect on your body when it comes to burning away the fat, I guess, that we all want to, is if you do that by drinking water, come back, then eat your meal. Hopefully it's a healthy meal. So do your cardio before you do anything, Seminole Bill. Okay?
Sounds fair. I look forward to doing that and getting rid of some more of that stuff on the edges, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, brother. Okay, this was probably going to be the most important water check ever going into the Wakulla Fun Fest last week. Seminole Bill, I know you bought into it, but the big question mark was Terminus Eric. Was he going to drink enough water to sustain himself for the Wakulla Fun Fest out there in the heat, everything that's going on, talking to all the fans, et cetera, et cetera. So our water check today has nothing to do with that, but we're going to find out what he consumed. But today on our water check, I'm coming in at 82 ounces, so hopefully I'm clearly in front. I'm pounding the water today. I'm feeling good, going to the bathroom a lot, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, you've got me today because I'm only at 68.
All right, you're at 68, so I have a commanding 14 ounces, and the win streak is back on it up to 3 weeks now. I do keep track of that. Exactly. Tell me this, Eric. What are you at today, brother?
Man, I'm at like 20.
Ooh, what is this effects from the Fun Fest or what? Why are you only at 20 ounces?
Because it's early in the morning.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I thought he was going to say because his hands still hurt so much from signing autographs that he can't hold the water bottle.
That's what I thought, because then I was going to suggest using a straw then.
Yeah.
If his arm is too tired. So I said, we'll call a Fun Fest leading up to a Terminus. Did you at least hydrate with some liquid, some water liquid?
Some water liquid? No. Well, a little bit, but, you know, Pepsi was there giving out free drinks with the Pepsi Challenge and, you know, had me some Coca-Colas and vanilla Coke
so you,
and all that fun
you
stuff.
Were consuming all kinds of liquid, and you mixed in some water, and then you would have, you know, your Pepsi from the Pepsi Challenge to the Coke, right? That's what you're doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bill, we can't have everything in life, but we'll take it. At least you drink water. Now, let's get back. Okay. So the girlfriend was at the Wakulla Fun Fest with you? Is that what the rumor is?
She was.
Okay, is she still your girlfriend?
She still is.
Okay, that's a good sign, Seminole Bill, right? Was she? Go ahead.
He's still living large. He's doing all right.
He's still living large. Now, was she impressed by the people coming up to you and saying, hey, Terminus Eric, what's going on? And maybe signing a few autographs here and there. Did she say, hey, what's up with that? I didn't know you were, you know, a little celebrity here. Impressed or no?
Well, she knew I was in all those movies, so she knows I'm famous already.
Oh, famous for not bringing his gun to the fight. Yeah.
Yeah. You are famous for being in all those movies. Yes, Terminus Eric, you have been in the movies. You have disappointed us a few of them. You're not winning an Oscar. I can guarantee you that. But it is nice that you're in it. But I was thinking, they're calling you Terminus Eric, though. So the radio show, the Mark Ward Show, has brought you some fame, right? It has helped chat with a woman, correct?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I get to ride on your coattail.
I don't know about that. You guys were the celebrity guest host there. So, hey, guys. Was it great? Did you meet a lot of the fans of the show and you get a chance to talk some sports and everything with them and other stuff?
Yeah. We were blessed that way. You know, folks come up, say hi, and you know, it just when you're out there doing your thing throughout the week as well, you run into folks, and we were appreciative of that. That say, hell yeah, we hear the show, and we tune in, and we listen to you guys, we listen to Will. the Pirate Hunter as well, and that's always a great thing to hear, and we're very appreciative of that, and continue to tell you to spread the word, because we want more of you out there. We want to see more fans, and meet more fans when they come to the events, and we appreciate all the love and all the help.
Well, that's good. You know, that is great, and that's what's helped make a success so far is all the fans out there, and it's good that this is kind of their first chance, really, to come out and meet some of the crew here. And I'm glad that they had a chance to meet Terminus Eric and Seminole Bill. I love talking in a third person, like you guys aren't actually here on the show with me right now. I do love saying that. Okay, real quick, though. Terminus Eric, I'll gear this back towards you. This is our entertainment segment. I know we just have a few. How much time do we have left? I don't want to start something. How much time do we have left?
Two and a half minutes.
About 2.5 minutes here. So what have you heard? I've seen pictures. And we always, folks, for those maybe joining us for the first time, our entertainment segment usually evolves around a TV show that we're all watching that's very popular, or possibly a movie that's out there. But also, because we just ended Game of Thrones, we ended Walking Dead before that, but now it's the Fear of the Walking Dead, and have you seen the new pictures that are surfacing now? And I know they're at Comic-Con as well.
I have not, actually.
Well.
Okay. All right. Well, there's pictures surfacing of the fear of fear. What's it? Fear of the Dead?
Fear of the Walking Dead.
Okay, so it is called Fear of the Walking Dead. That's what I thought it was. So they're all at Comic-Con right now in San Diego, which is an awesome event, and hopefully one day we'll be able to go there. That would be really cool. But so they're all there, and so they're talking about Fear of the Walking Dead. They're showing it like a special trailer and everything. The Walking Dead crew is there as well, and they've shown the first pictures of next season's The Walking Dead also. And you know your show is popular. Are you ready for this, guys? You know your show is popular when you post a still picture and people are breaking the picture down, trying to figure out what's going on from one single shot. They have a Rick, and there's like some kind of truck or van or something in the background, and he's standing there, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And next thing I know, I'm like, wow, people are really breaking it down, going, huh, he's not in his constable uniform, so there's no police uniform. I wonder if Rick's back to his old ways, and I wonder what's in that truck behind him. I'm going, really? Like, you're speculating on what's in a truck that's just in a picture? You know, and his face looks like he's been in a fight or something. I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's when you know you struck a nerve with the country, when one still photo of an upcoming season, not a trailer, a photo, sparks all kinds of conversation.
Well, that definitely, it's kind of like the preseason to football. People get amped up and want to suppose what's going to happen, and you want to see, you want to see some intrigue in the whole storyline. And that Walking Dead, boy, they know what they're doing. They're definitely they are the machine of
they're the FTC marketing machine right now.
Yeah,
you're very good, Bill. All right. Hey, that's going to do it for another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. We want to thank everybody that came out to Wakulla Fun Fest and met Terminus Eric and Seminole Bill. The next Wakulla Fun Fest is on July 17th at Hudson Park. Mark the calendar. Get there early, around 10 or 11 in the morning or something like that. I don't know the exact time, but get there early, stay late, have a great time. So for Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, I'm Mark Lloyd. We'll talk to you next week, right here on Freedom 93 FM.